Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 50.
Number 50.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I didn't think I was in the last two or three episodes after our first episode, but yeah. Congratulations on number 50.
Yeah, dude. It's a cool number. What do you got for us for 50?
Tom Henke.
Oh, Tom Henke was one of the greats.
Closer for the Blue Jays during their big years.
Yeah.
Multiple World Series winner.
His nickname was the Terminator, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a beast, man.
Yeah,
he was hard to hit. I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but much respect to Tom Henke.
Yeah, he was great.
As a Red Sox fan, he pissed me off a lot.
Oh, yeah, they had quite the rivalry back then, too. Yeah. They always do, yeah. Right? So.
My Red Sox are kicking ass this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, David Ortiz is going to retire at the end of the year.
Oh, really?
And he's on pace to win the MVP this year.
I've heard his numbers are like astronomical.
Huge numbers.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. Footy ended today. I got up at 7 to watch United game. I turn on the feed. Game's not on.
Oh, no way.
Woke up a little late, like 10 minutes late. Game's not on. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So I go to the Guardian sports page. There's a bomb scare at Old Trafford.
Oh, what?
And they didn't let anybody in the building.
No way.
While they try to find out what this suspicious package is. Supposedly it's a pipe with a cell phone attached to it.
Jeez. Oh,
so I'm like, okay, I guess they'll figure that out and the game will start a half hour late.
Yeah.
No, they canceled the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the final day of the season.
Jeez.
And Manchester United hasn't played their final game.
Oh, that's brutal.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. City tied.
Oh, really?
So they finished fourth. United finished fifth.
Yeah.
So we're at Champions League.
Oh, I see.
So the game's being replayed on Tuesday. Means nothing.
That's unreal.
Where'd you guys finish? Eighth?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we weren't in the mix, so...
If you'd had Jurgen Klopp the whole year...
Yeah, oh, they'd be right up there.
Would have been a different story.
Totally.
I had a really weird little piece of luck last week. Amazon, by mistake, shipped me Uncharted 4 early.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I put it on Used Victoria and Craigslist for $200, and some guy countered me, and I sold it for $175.
Jeez.
It was only 5 days early.
That's crazy, dude.
$175. I paid 60 something for it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went and rebought it on Tuesday.
There you go.
Yeah, and made some cash.
That's crazy, man.
Some guy bought it for his kid.
Jeez.
I'm like, my dad was never that cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Unreal, man. Well, good on you for capitalizing on it.
Hey, why not? You hear people doing it all the time. So.
Oh, totally.
So why not?
Yeah.
And my last little piece of information, new Radiohead. Fuck yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I wasn't a big fan at first, but I realized I've never really listened to their music, like cover to cover kind of thing, right? So I've been going through their work and I've grown a better appreciation. So
Radiohead are awesome.
Yeah, the new album's pretty great. So
when I heard Burn the Witch and I was like, this is an automatic classic Radiohead song.
Oh yeah.
And then I saw the video.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
It's an animated version of The Wicker Man.
Oh, no way.
It is awesome.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, the song's great. The video is great. New Radiohead takes me 5 months to get into.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I listen to it like song by song, it seems, and it takes me a while to get into them. I'm already kind of digging it, so that's a good sign.
Oh, wicked, dude.
Yeah, yeah, listen to OK Computer if you haven't listened to that.
Yeah, listen to that over the last week.
I really like In Rainbows.
Okay, I haven't listened to that.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw your tweets on Radiohead, and you're being a little mean. And I'm like,
I was.
Come on, Abe. Come on. That sucks.
Well, you know, I think comparing Radiohead to like a cinematic thing, it'd be like trying to watch and get something out of like a Terrence Malick film for the first time without ever having watched a Terrence Malick film.
Yeah, it's like your first Terrence Malick film is To the Wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're like, huh? What?
This is dumb.
Yeah. You're like, you haven't seen Badlands.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like, oh, yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, so I've gone back, listened to like their first three albums, and I'll continue to keep working through this stuff because it's a lot to catch up on, right? Like,
yeah, the Bends and OK Computer are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah, I still think that OK Computer was probably their best disc. Maybe like 1A, 1B, because I also really like In Rainbows, but man, I love Radiohead. Two of the songs on the new disc, they've been playing live for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
But never recorded.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they, True Love Waits on the new disc.
Okay.
They played on a live CD like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's unreal.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. But enough about me rambling.
Like we talked about last episode, ever since I cut cable, I've been watching a lot more TV these days. Finished Ash vs. Evil Dead, and it's okay. It's just too formulaic. I
hated the ending.
Yeah.
And it was weak.
It was super, like, last maybe two or three episodes, I was just like ready for it to end.
I was like, what's with that compromise?
Yeah.
And it was. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
I like the series overall because I love Bruce Campbell, but yeah, that last episode, that's weak.
It was okay. Like, it was nice to get a bit of Bruce Campbell being Ash again. Then I started watching Mr. Robot, and that show is just like next level, dude.
Yeah.
It is so good. I had no idea what it was about going in, and it's on Show Me, so I was just like, oh, I've heard a lot about this show, and we watched like the first two episodes in the first sitting, and that's how it felt like every time we'd sit down and watch, we'd usually watch two episodes. It's so good.
The final episode got delayed because of a certain scene in it about somebody doing violence to themselves.
Oh, really?
Very spoilerish. That scene was very shocking.
Oh.
Do you remember that scene?
I'm being really vague. Oh, that's right. I'm being really vague.
Something happened in the media. I forget what it was, and they delayed the episode.
I remember reading about that. Yeah.
And all I was like, I don't care. Play the final episode. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that show. It's my favorite TV show of last year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right up there, man. It's so good. Can't wait for another season. So yeah, I've just been watching those and other random shows. I'll talk about another episode and they've got Liverpool Europa final coming up this week, so that'll be exciting.
You gonna go hit a bar at lunchtime and get tanked?
I wish. Yeah, no, I'll talk to my buddy at work. I'll work something out so I can
wearing watch your game. Steven Gerrard jersey or something?
That's right. Yeah. My medium Steven Gerrard jersey. It's way too small. Yeah, so.
Cool, man.
Yeah, that's all I've been up to these days.
Nice.
So you ready to get into the rest of the show?
Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, let's start off with some rant action. This is where we rant about anything movie-related. What do you have for us this episode?
So last episode, Adrian talked about Alien Day, how much it pissed him off. I kind of laughed it off because, you know, it's just Adrian being the Twitter guy. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then it happened to me.
Okay.
Friday the 13th.
That's right. A few days ago.
Stupid coworker comes up to me and goes, happy Friday the 13th day. Jason Voorhees day. And I'm like, you don't even know who Jason Voorhees is. You saw it on Facebook. You've never even seen those films. Plus, I'm a Freddy Krueger guy. Fuck yeah. Jason Voorhees.
That's right.
Yeah. Why does everything have to have some sort of stupid little thing around it?
It all started with Back to the Future, right? Back to the Future Day.
Oh, yeah. And may the 4th be with you.
Oh, Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though Star Wars opened like 2 weeks later.
That's right.
Yeah.
It didn't open on May 4th.
No, it didn't.
But may the 4th be with you sounds an awful lot like may the force be with you.
Wow. Oh. Yeah, they're reaching. Yeah, so fuck Friday the 13th. I shouldn't have laughed at you last episode, man.
There you go.
You were totally right.
You're feeling my pain on that one.
You were totally right.
That's right. Right on, dude.
Rant out.
There you go. Well, my rant is about how nostalgia is killing everything, and this kind of ties into what you're talking about. Back to the Future Day, Alien Day, Friday the 13th, and now filmmakers are picking up on this. They're hiring cool music supervisors who go out and get some music license for their movie to itch that nostalgia scratch that everybody has going into movies. As long as the music reminds you of your childhood, that automatically makes it a great movie. I'm sick of it. It's a trick that is no longer working on me. So, but it seems to be working on the masses, which is a shame, but what can you do? Yeah, so that's my rant. Cool, cool. Well, now that we've got some rant action out of the way, let's get into the main reviews for the show. Let's start off with Captain America Civil War.
Someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are for not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not SHIELD. It's not HYDRA.
No, but it's run by people with agendas, and agendas change.
That's good.
That's why I'm here. When I realized what my weapons were capable of in the wrong hands, I shut it down, stopped manufacturing.
Tony, you chose to do that. If we sign this, we surrender our right to choose.
Captain America Civil War. What does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. Political interference in the Avengers' activities cause a rift between former allies, Captain America, and Iron Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Loved this movie.
Yeah, this one's great.
Holy crap, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
3 for 3, baby. Captain America.
Yeah,
the best Marvel movies going today.
Yeah, absolutely. Home run every time they have Steve Rogers flexing those muscles. How about that scene? I'm going to derail us for a second here. There's a scene that's in the trailer and in the movie. Captain America, Steve Rogers, grabs the helicopter and holds onto the side of the helicopter platform, and he just starts flexing his guns, and you get this close up of his biceps, and he's just looking so hot and muscular. I commented on this on Twitter, and a good friend of ours, Jim Poliafico from Movie Bears Podcast, said that Chris Evans is a good, what did he say?
He's gateway or something?
He's a good gateway bear for guys like me that are kind of questioning my sexuality because Chris Evans.
He's a good looking guy.
He is. Big muscles. Yeah. Anyway, had to get that out of the way.
So yeah, all this stuff's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. We intro some new characters into the Avenger universe.
Yeah.
We got Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther and Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah, they're both great.
I didn't think Tom Holland would work. He's kind of a small dude, not a lot of muscles. He's really thin.
He is,
Doesn't look like a superhero.
No.
But Spider-Man's awesome.
Oh, totally.
Love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I really like Black Panther. He's just a dude with a purpose, and he wants to get his job done. And it's full steam ahead with that guy.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that movie.
Yeah. Chadwick Boseman's my favorite addition to the MCU.
And Ryan Coogler is directing Black Panther.
Oh, that's right. That's awesome.
Automatic good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to prejudge it, but it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who he plays because it might be a little bit of a spoiler, but Daniel Brühl shows up, too.
Yeah.
Always a classy addition to a film.
He is. He does class up the joint.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Makes good use of the time he has in this film. Well, what have we seen him in? We've seen him in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
He was in that racing film with Thor.
With Thor. I love that. I love how we adopted the Thor Senior and Thor Junior.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't even remember that movie.
It was that Formula One race.
Yeah, directed by Opie.
Yeah, directed by Opie.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Everybody who's listening right now is going, it's called Blah!
That's right. Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Captain America seems like the realest of all the superheroes in the Avengers team.
Oh, totally.
He's just the regular dude who just kind of has special abilities. He's not really special, but he is, but he's not. He feels human. I always liked that about Captain America. You got Tony Stark, who's got his suits, Black Widow, who I guess is just the same, but she's a smaller character.
Right.
But Captain America is the good, awesome Avenger, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he stands for something.
Yeah.
He wants to be a good guy and wants to, and he's loyal. Like, he's loyal to his friend, and that's something you can't buy. That's what I love about him.
And then you got Tony Stark playing Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's right. He totally does.
Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark from Batman versus Superman and this are the exact same fucking character.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, Tony's all pissed because they're making too much damage. So is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something really controversial.
Do it.
Kind of getting tired of Robert Downey Jr. as
Tony
Stark.
Yeah.
It's one note.
Yeah, I guess so.
I
can see that.
I'm just not down with it anymore.
Yeah.
Same one-liners. I just doesn't do it for me anymore. Right. Didn't do it for me in Iron Man 3 either.
Oh, that I hated that movie.
Yeah, I'm just kind of getting tired of him. Maybe I'm weird. Everything in this movie feels like it counts for something.
Oh, totally.
And that's more than I can say. Like, I don't want to beat down Batman versus Superman. I know you liked it, but
yeah,
there was so much going on in that movie that didn't really matter. In this film, there's not a lot of fat.
Yeah, there's purpose to what's happening in the film. And I enjoy that all of the films leading into this, there was what, like 12 films before this in the MCU?
Really? I thought there was like more than that.
No, I think this is the 13th. And again, somebody may correct us on that. But it felt like while they're putting each other in danger and while they're fighting and all the action's going on, I'm just like, bros, don't hurt yourselves. I felt really emotional a couple times when a few of them get hurt. I'm so invested in those characters.
Yeah, there's one character in the film that gets really hurt. No spoilers.
Right.
And I remember you telling me you were really worked up over that. I was like, yeah, it was super emotional.
Yeah.
Because he actually cared about the character.
Oh, totally.
And it was just the way it was done. It was just really, really well done. I freaking love this film. I've seen it twice. I don't know. I think you've seen it twice.
Yeah,
too.
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to see it again. I loved it.
Totally.
I'm happy it's doing really big money. I hope for some reason it takes over like Avenger money, kind of like gets that high, because I love Captain America, man. It's not like they're going to stop making Captain America movies, but support Captain America.
Oh, totally.
Make it bigger than the Avengers. I love it. 5 out of 5, man.
Yeah, man. It's right up there for me too. I love this film. It moves so well and the action is so exciting. And one thing I wanted to talk about briefly is the way they shot the film. It was a style choice, right? It is shot pretty tight. For some reason, some people said they couldn't follow the action or they thought it was too close. I found that really intimate.
That's weird. I had no problem with that.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems following what was happening. I think that with a film like this, when you have so many fights going on at once, sometimes it's okay to just focus on what's happening with two characters and not have 16 characters in the background doing a bunch of crap.
Yeah. So,
I was fine with that.
No, I had no problem.
Yeah.
Everything worked in this film for me.
Oh, totally.
Like I said, not a lot of fat, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't get superhero films like these very often.
Yeah.
This is a big, humongous tentpole that actually works.
Yeah.
Pretty much the entire way through.
Oh, totally.
Like, how rare is that?
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to mention is that I think I said this during the Winter Soldier as well. I don't think the Russo brothers get enough credit, probably because they don't go to certain film festivals or follow certain people on Twitter. But I think a lot of people are still too proud of the fact that they insulted the Russos before Winter Avenger was even made. Because he was known as like the comedy. They were known as the comedy brothers, right?
Yeah. No, it's really well shot. You were talking about the not being able to see the actual action. I was watching TV last night and the second Bourne movie was on. It was the Bourne Ultimatum, I think it was.
Okay, yeah.
I can't see a fucking thing in that film. Paul Greengrass cannot shoot a static frame to save his life. Yeah. Everything is moving all over the place.
Yeah.
And I forgot how like disgusting that film is.
Yeah.
It's a fun film, but you can't see a damn thing.
Yeah.
This is nothing like that. What are you guys exactly. talking about? You guys are stupid.
Yeah. Oh, and another cool thing I noticed is that they had a large list of second unit directors. A couple of them were the guys who directed John Wick.
Really?
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so they had their hands in the cookie jar, so I think that's awesome.
John Wick 2, next February.
Yeah, bring it on.
Dog harder.
Nice. Yeah, that's right.
I'm calling it that.
Do it. Yeah, so Civil War is awesome.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, get out there, go see it. It's so good.
Yeah, how can you not have seen this? Like, it's the biggest movie going right now.
Yeah, that's right. It's the only movie going right now.
Yeah, we had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for this episode.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Cool. You ready to move to the next movie?
Yeah, man.
Cool. So let's move on to Sing Street.
That was bad, bad music. And there is nothing as bad in this world as bad music.
You know, you can record over tape.
No. That was a novelty act. You want to have actual sexual intercourse, right?
Yeah. What?
The girl. It's all about the girl, isn't it?
Yeah, the girl, yeah.
And you're going to use somebody else's art to get her? Are you kidding?
We're just starting. Like, we need to learn how to play.
Do the Sex Pistols know how to play? You don't need to know how to play. Who are you, Steely Dan? You need to learn how not to play, Connor. That's the trick. That's rock and roll. And that takes practice. And you're not a covers band, by the way.
Really?
No. Every school has a covers band. Every pub has a covers band. Every wedding has a covers band. And every covers band has a middle-aged member who'll never know whether they could have made it in the music industry or not because they never had the balls to write a song for someone else. Rock and roll is a risk. You risk being ridiculed.
But I don't know how to write a song.
Close that door and sit down.
Really?
It's going to be a long night.
School in the morning.
This is school.
What does IMDb have to say about this one?
A boy growing up in Dublin during the 1980s escapes his strained family life by starting a band to impress a mysterious girl he likes.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Why does he like her?
She's pretty.
Yeah.
She looks like she's 25.
She totally does.
And he looks like he's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't they have age-appropriate people?
I don't know.
Yeah, that kind of took me out of the movie.
It really did.
Yeah.
There's a scene where she's listening to their music, and she just finished taking a shower. She's, like, in a towel, and I was just like, whoa, she looks older. Yeah. She looks significantly older.
Yeah, it's not even close to his age.
Yeah.
What did you think, man? This has, like, a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
It does. You know what? I enjoyed, I'd say, about half of it. And then when I started to take apart the movie while I was watching it, I was like, this is so manipulative. This kid is actually a piece of shit. And he's being celebrated for it. And John Carney is masturbating to his past and fantasizing about a different outcome. And I'm not cool with that. I'm a realist, you know? Like, some people say glass half jar, glass half empty. I'm like glass half empty, and John Carney's like glass full and spilling over. So that's my impressions of the film.
I have a bit of a theory for you on this film.
Okay.
Is this film 500 Days of Summer? All from the male's point of view. So all you get is this one-sided, really male, macho kind of thing where it's just like, I'm going after the girl. And the girl has no retort.
Yeah.
Because she's a really badly written character in the film. She has no like real responses to anything. The main guy, is he Joseph Gordon-Levitt? And the other girl is Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're onto something with that for sure. And I know that part of the movies is that it's make-believe and you can make it whatever you want.
But you're saying, but Bill, 500 Days of Summer was really good.
It was really good.
Had a really great script where everything kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Something Sing Street is lacking. As you said, the more I thought about it too, the more I'm like, this has some really good parts to it, but some of it is really weird, underwritten, and frankly, racist.
Oh, so racist. Talk about that.
There's one scene where they're recruiting bandmates for their band, and there's like one black guy in their building. They just automatically assume he can play an instrument because he's black.
Yeah.
So they go and talk to him, and they talk to him like he's retarded.
They talk to him slow, like he doesn't understand them.
He's like, what's all with these people? Like, I lived here my entire life. And I'm thinking, he stole that joke from South Park.
Yeah, it was stolen, lifted straight from South Park.
South Park. Cartman and Token.
Yeah.
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 That's like the entire joke. Except for Cartman's a really well-written character.
Yeah.
And you kind of laugh at his stupidity. I didn't laugh at this one.
No.
Like, you're racist.
Yeah, that really put me off as well. Can you name any of the band members?
I can't. So there's the main guy. I don't even know his name.
Cosmo. I looked him up on IMDb.
Okay. His writing partner. Don't know his name.
Yeah.
There's the black guy who played keyboards. Yeah. I think his name is said once in the film when they ask if he's home. And there's two other people who are not named.
The bass player.
I'm like, okay, this is a pretty major point in your movie, and you're sidetracking it. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a band that not only did you not name, they disappear.
They completely vanish from
like,
this film.
They're in like a few scenes, and then you don't see them again for like an hour.
But you hear their music.
I know.
While he's playing the music for the girl he's trying to get.
Yeah, so he decides he has to make this band to impress this girl. So they get the band together, and they're not a very good band. The first time they play, they're really terrible. Everybody's off key and off time. They're doing a cover song, and they're screwing it up. 5 minutes later in the film, they're great musicians, and they're making a music video.
Oh, yeah.
That's a disconnect to me.
It's weird.
A couple years ago, Lukas Moodyason made a film called We Are the Best, where they decide they're going to make a band, and they suck.
They do.
And guess what? They suck the entire film.
Yeah.
Because they suck. There's no magic to it. They don't learn how to play instruments overnight.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I liked that about that
film. That was a beautiful film.
In this film, they're pros.
Yeah.
Right away. Another disconnect.
Yeah. And the little boy, the leader of the band, the only one that matters, the only one with a name, he's John Lennon overnight. And he's preloaded with all the best things you could possibly say to every situation, whether it's dealing with wearing makeup at school when he's not supposed to, and he has to say something clever to the brother who berates him for that. Or the clever thing he says to the bully that makes no sense in reality.
Oh, the bully.
Yeah.
Has no purpose in the film, but is written better than the band.
Totally. That's right.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
You find out that his dad beats him, and he has this massive backstory. Meanwhile, the drummer and the bassist in your band don't know their name.
Yeah. Never been mentioned.
No.
And yeah, he just says all the most perfect things. And at one point, his brother even says, "Wow, that's perfect, man. You should put that in your song," kind of thing. And it's like, okay, John Lennon.
I'm really slagging it. I like some of it, but overall, I don't think I like it.
Yeah, no, I dislike this film.
Congratulations. We're one of the 3% of the world that doesn't like Sing Street.
Yeah.
Because everybody seems to like this one.
Everybody.
And you know
everybody.
What?
Everybody.
Good on you guys. I love that you guys like movies. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a swing and a miss, but I did like some of it.
Yeah.
So it's not like a complete kill.
Yeah.
But no, I can't get over some of the problems.
Yeah.
And there's problems.
There are major problems in this film. And I'm going to talk about a couple of things here. In the movie, Jack Rayner, and I loved his performance. He's the older brother. That's all I know him as, brother.
Yeah, he's the best part of the film, probably.
Yeah. He says at one point, rock and roll is a risk. Now, where's the risk in this film? Because there are none. There's no stakes. There's no risk. There's nothing to this film.
But he might not get the girl.
Oh, I didn't think that for 1 second.
No, we all knew he was going to get the girl, right?
That's right. And the other thing I wanted to mention about this film, and this is me just maybe trying to get a rise out of people. Maybe it's true, though. This thought crossed my mind as I was watching the film. This ties in with my rant from earlier when it comes to nostalgia. You throw in some Duran Duran and Aha, and oh my god, this is such a great film. You know what? Another movie that fooled audiences by including a great soundtrack? Forrest fucking Gump had a great soundtrack. Therefore, it was a great movie, an Oscar-winning movie.
Yeah.
And it was a piece of shit. And I wouldn't go as far as saying Sing Street's a piece of shit. It's not quite a piece of shit, but it's really not a good movie.
We're so mean.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to somebody who loves this film and ask the person.
Go on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah. I want to know what happens if they make, not that they would make a sequel to this film, but what happens in the sequel? I would love to.
Yeah. Heroin.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots of heroin.
Yeah. But yeah, they dress the kids like The Cure and Aha and Duran Duran and OMG, that's so cute. I remember doing that when I was a kid. And these are the things they're doing to fool you into thinking it's a good movie by making you think of your childhood. And it didn't work on me.
This guy made Once, one of the most authentic musical movies ever made.
Yeah.
Like that film bled authenticity.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like Glenn Hansard, my god.
Yeah.
There's no better musical performance maybe ever in a film.
Right.
He's so great.
Yeah.
And I liked Begin Again. I might be the only person who did, but I liked it.
I haven't seen that yet.
And this one's just a major disappointment. Sorry to tell you, everybody, but on the official Bill Harris meter, it is 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Because I did like some of it.
Yeah, I'd give it about a 2 out of 5.
Also, props to Aidan Gillen and his dancing.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome.
If you've seen the film, you'll understand. That's but, right. Yeah, he's a great dancer.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I say skip it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
We're the only people saying that. That's so right. You might like it.
Anyway, let's move on to our next movie. Let's talk about Money Monster.
I want everyone to know something. I might be the one with the gun here, but I'm not the real criminal. It's people like these guys. They're stealing everything from us, and they're getting away with it, too. Nobody's asking how. Nobody's asking why.
They didn't steal anything from you.
You gotta open your eyes out there. I mean, it's not like the government's no help. Hell, they just look the other way since after they're done stealing our money, they barely even have to pay any taxes on it.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Shut up, Lee! Shut up! I came here to talk! Shut up for 2 minutes!
All right, Money Monster. What does IMDb have to say about this film?
Directed by Jodie Foster, financial TV host Lee Gates and its producer Patty are put in a extreme situation when a irate investor takes over their studio.
Yeah.
The irate investor, played by Jack O'Connell.
That's right.
I think he's a really good actor. Lee Gates, played by George Clooney, and Patty, played by Julia Roberts.
That's right.
It's a really big cast.
It is huge.
So why does this movie really bore me?
Because nothing happens in this movie.
It is so flat and straightforward, and you know every beat, when it's going to happen and why it's going to happen. Like, there's nothing original in this film.
Yeah.
And all I kept on thinking was, try something.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a really great opportunity here to talk about investors, how they lost their money. Oh, wait, The Big Short did that last year.
Yeah.
So try something new.
Yeah.
And go for the jugular.
Yeah.
Instead, it's a super plain and boring film that just kind of moseys along and does nothing.
Does absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It has a couple of weird, like, running jokes, too. That balls.
Ugh.
Balls is played as a dumb joke, and it's never funny.
Yeah. You know what, though? The Lee Gates character has, like, this financial show that's really, like, extreme and all over the place. And he has, like, girls dancing with him at the beginning, and he talks about balls and... I thought that was actually kind of funny.
Oh, really?
I thought it was an okay part. I like the TV show, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's on screen for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm like, this is actually kind of fun.
I wasn't into that stuff. Like, I was just like, yeah, I've seen this in the trailer. Let's go. And that may have just been the marketing part, right? But yeah, it's just, I was reaching while I was watching this film, and on my way home, I was like, what are they trying to say here? I don't think they have anything to say in this movie.
Would this film have been more effective if we hadn't seen The Big Short last year?
I think I'd still be here calling it bullshit.
Yeah. There's nothing really new here that we already don't know.
Yeah, and it's been done before, right? This kind of film.
Yeah, like at least the Big Short explained a bunch of stuff that some people might not have had a clue about and was really effective doing it.
Right.
This just has George Clooney wearing a suicide vest trying to talk a guy not into blowing him up for an hour, and then the incredibly lame third act with, like, the worst film villain I've seen since Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Age of Ultron, maybe. Yeah.
Played by Dominic West. He's just like, I'm so evil, I'm just going to smile the whole time.
Yeah.
Shut up. This is an absolute waste. Played at the Cannes Film Festival.
It did.
Yeah, and all the stars came out, and I'm just like, you're premiering this film at the biggest film fest in the world, where all the elite critics are at.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're asking for it.
That's a mess.
Yeah. If a couple little podunk internet guys like us are shitting on your film, what is everybody else doing to it? The ones that really matter.
the ones who flew halfway across the world to see it.
It might be a little jaded.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So I don't really have much more to say on this one. Like, it's just, I don't recommend it at all. It's
no,
I don't even think it's even a renter or Netflix.
Don't
or,
waste your time.
No, watch The Big Short again.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
There's not a redeeming quality to this film.
Or watch one of the 100 documentaries that do the exact same thing, but better.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really nothing to this film. And the trailer made it look like a really good film. I was so disappointed.
2 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd say about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just exists.
Yeah, it's not a terrible film. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's Seinfeld.
Yeah. It's the movie about nothing. Yeah. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
So true. So true. Yeah, I'm struggling to find other things to say. So I think we should just let's just close it off right here. Don't see Money Monster.
No, I do not recommend it.
Well, let's talk about this episode's selection for Movie Club. This one is called High and Low. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about High and Low?
So it's from 1963, directed by Akira Kurosawa. And it's about an executive of a shoe company who becomes a victim of extortion when his chauffeur's son is kidnapped and held for ransom. It's a little bit more elaborate than that, but that's like the first part of the film.
It is, yeah.
It's a tale of two films.
It really is.
As I said last time when I introed it last episode, Kurosawa made a lot of samurai films. And this was a major departure. He remade an American novel called King's Ransom by Ed McBain, who was a pulpy writer. It was a complete about face of what he usually did. And I was, this was a blind buy for me back in the day because I'm like, oh, new Criterion. It's a Kurosawa film.
Oh, no way.
I'm like, cool. And I like watch it. I'm like, this is not a samurai film. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Nice.
And I'm just totally entranced by this tension-filled story of this ransom. And then it becomes this amazing police procedural film.
Oh, totally.
Where they, like, work this case, like the kidnapping case, to try to find the guy who did the kidnapping. And it's a meticulous film. Like, it's really well done.
Oh, yeah.
For a guy who's never made a film like this before. I think it's his best film.
Oh, really?
I love Seven Samurai, and I love, like, Yojimbo and Sanjuro and stuff like that. Hidden Fortress, which Lucas stole for Star Wars.
Yeah.
But, no, I love this film.
It's great.
So you liked it?
Oh, love this film, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Almost exactly at the halfway mark is when it switches to police procedural, and everything before that was, like, kind of family drama and thriller and suspense, and you're going, what would I do in that spot? Would I just say screw it and think of myself in the business, or do I think of the human side and pay the ransom?
The whole thing about the extortion too is the guy who kidnaps thinks that he's got the rich guy's kid, but he gets the wrong kid. Takes the chauffeur's kid, and he phones the guy up and says, oh yeah, you've probably figured out by now that I took the wrong kid. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like,
yeah,
this is like a tremendous screw up.
Yeah.
But the way it works is like, it's all about everybody around him with external pressure to pay this ransom. And he's kind of has no choice.
Yeah.
Like it's brutal. It's so full of tension. And they keep on talking back and forth on the phone, and they have all the blinds closed because there's cops there, and they don't want them to know. And he asks to open the blinds, and they all have to like duck down. And it's like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
Starring Toshiro Mifune, who was in all the big Kurosawa films as like the head samurai.
Yeah.
And this, he's like a shoe company guy who wears a suit.
Yeah.
And it's a complete departure.
Yeah.
He's a boss.
Oh, totally.
He just owns the screen.
Yeah.
And then he disappears.
That's right. He does.
Halfway through the film, he disappears.
Yeah.
And it becomes a totally different film.
Yeah. It becomes like Cops and Robbers kind of thing. And I love just the way they plan it out, and you're like right along for the ride. And they throw a couple of curveballs in there during the investigation.
Yeah.
And oh man, that just like, I was watching it and trying to put myself back in that time frame, because now we're spoiled by technology, right? But back then, they didn't have access to the things we have access to. So some people might be like, oh, well, I would have just used my cell phone or whatever. But this one, you're just like, some of the situations they get themselves into, it's like French Connection. They're totally screwed, and there's nothing they can do about the situation at the time.
And in both films, pay phones are very important.
Oh, yeah.
So you talk about the cell phones is really apt, because there's a major point in this film where they're talking about pay phones.
Yeah.
They don't exist anymore.
No.
I love black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Man, could Kurosawa shoot black and white.
Yeah, it really pops in this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Except for one scene where there's color.
Yeah, that was cool.
Pink smoke.
Yeah,
which is really like shocking when it comes up. You're like, oh,
yeah.
It's like the one color scene in Schindler's List.
Oh, totally.
Which makes it this like super poignant.
Yeah, drives the point home.
Yeah, just the idea of how the cops come up with an idea to catch the guy by trying to make him reenact the crime.
Yeah,
and it's really cool. There's also a scene on a train that is so great.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about a pickup and a drop off and all this stuff, and how they're trying to get a picture of the people doing it. They have like cameras and like 8mm, I'm guessing, and like regular like 35mm cameras trying to like shoot these people. And then they get all their footage, and then they go back to the office and start going through it frame by frame. And I was like, this is so great.
Yeah.
Like, this should be really boring, but I'm so enthralled by this. Yeah. This is like CSI stuff, like back in the 60s.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So great.
That drop-off scene reminded me of The Big Lebowski. Like, I'm sure the Coens had that in mind, that whole, because there's a, even on the bridge, right? It happens in The Big Lebowski, but it's like their version of it kind of thing. And yeah, man, I was right along for the ride for this film. Loved it start to finish. One hell of a film. I was completely immersed in this world, and
it's a nice little companion piece to Rafifi.
It totally is. Yeah. The procedural bit.
Pretty cool. hey man, glad you liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good stuff.
We're on a bit of a roll again. I like that.
Yeah.
it's hard to pick these. Cause I overthink everything.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just like, is he going to like this? Like it's, I don't know if he's going to dig the procedure stuff, but
oh yeah,
no, it's tight. I knew you would.
And I know it stings when I don't like it, or if I'm not vibing with it. Cause I know that feeling. Like if I recommend a movie, like I recommended Spring Breakers to people when that came out, and I was just like telling them why I enjoyed it and why they should give it a shot. And then they'd text me back being like, that movie's a piece of shit. And I hate you. And I'm like, whoa, what? Come on.
Yeah. Oh. But I understand that, because I'm the guy who didn't really vibe on Spring Breakers until the second viewing.
Okay. Yeah.
I was oddly kind of put off by it.
Okay.
But the second viewing, I got the vibe of it. So I do understand that.
Cool.
And yeah, dude, like it's weird when you don't like the films, but
yeah.
I think I got one this time you're gonna like this one.
Cool.
I always say this, no rules on Movie Club.
That's right.
No rules.
That's right.
We got a new film.
New film. That's
new
right.
New film. Yeah. Technically a 2015 film, because it opened last November, but it was super limited.
Okay.
Oscar qualification. It was nominated for Best Foreign Film last year.
Okay.
Technically, it's probably a 2016 film.
If you
really want to be, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
But no, this episode's film from 2015, Mustang.
Mustang. Hey, all right. Mustang. Cool, man.
I freaking love this film.
Yeah,
I watched it again this afternoon and cried like a little child.
No way.
It's
good.
So great.
Nice.
As I said, it was a foreign film language nominee. Unfortunately, lost to the best film of last year, Son of Saul.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Which is not a bad thing, because you know, what are you going to do? But this is a great film, man.
Wicked, dude.
I had a little reservation with it, just because Every time I think you're going to like one of these heart-filled films, like Room or something like that, you surprise the shit out of me.
the cave troll comes out.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, Adrian's going to, oh, shit, no, you're going to like that one.
That's right. That cold-hearted man.
But yeah, this is a good one, man.
Cool, dude.
I really like it.
Nice, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Probably one of the best reviewed films of the year so far, so just like Sing Street.
Hey, all right. It's like Sing Street.
No,
okay.
It's really not.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch this one for quite some time. So yeah, that's awesome. We can use it as part of our movie club.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem with living in a small city is that I think I played it for 2 days.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and we didn't have a chance to see it. I'd already seen it, but Adrian needed to see it.
Yeah.
It would have been sweet if he could have put it on his top 20 list last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we don't get the opportunity.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you want to join Movie Club, you can watch Mustang. And if memory serves correctly, I believe in the U.S. it's on Amazon Prime.
And it's on iTunes.
And on iTunes.
It's even on Canadian iTunes.
That's right.
Which
it is.
Rare.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want, check out Mustang. You have to watch it by May 29th and send us your comments through Twitter or Facebook. We'll share that at the end of the show, and we'll read your comments on the next episode. So we've had some people join in, and that's always fun.
I cried when I watched this.
Bill cried, and Bill never cries.
And I'm a freaking robot.
That's right.
So, yeah, good luck with this one, guys.
That means I will probably weep until I'm dehydrated.
That's cool.
Right on, dude. So yeah, Mustang, watch it by May 29th. Get us your thoughts. Let us know what you think.
Sweet.
Okay, so let's move on to our next part of the show, the lightning round. This is where we talk about other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. So what do you have for us in this episode's lightning round?
So nothing really opened theatrically, so I didn't really see any extra films, but I went over to Netflix. Haven't been there in a while.
Okay, yeah.
And Netflix is always putting out docs.
Oh, yeah.
So there's always a good doc on Netflix. If you're looking for something to watch, there's usually something there. And I went to the doc area and saw Team Foxcatcher.
Okay.
Which is I'd heard about. It's a Netflix-only doc, and it's using real footage of the Foxcatcher incident.
Okay.
We all saw the film.
Right.
But here's the thing. The Foxcatcher movie, directed by Bennett Miller, was about David Schultz and John DuPont.
Right.
David Schultz is not in this doc.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was because maybe he didn't want to be in it, but this uses real footage. Mm-hmm. People recorded a lot of stuff. They were really popular guys. They were the Olympic stars of North America for wrestling, and starred his brother Mark Schultz, the one that Jean DuPont shot.
Right.
So it's all footage of him and Jean DuPont and the other wrestlers, and it's really interesting.
Wow.
Just how, you know, like, we all saw Foxcatcher, and we kind of know that Steve Carell was kind of a weird dude.
Right.
He's super weird in real life.
Oh, really?
Not to mention, he tended to carry a gun around a lot.
Oh, wow.
And nobody did anything about it. Because he was paying for everything.
Yeah. What are you going to say, right?
Well, yeah. You live on his property. He's paying you a salary to wrestle, paying for your food. Your family lives there. You're screwed if you leave. Plus, you want to win an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
So you want to train. Meanwhile, the guy who's doing it walked into your house with a loaded handgun and started waving it at you.
That's crazy.
And it's like, this is so terrible. Like, yeah. Everybody had a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
And nobody did anything.
Oh, brutal.
And they're all like, yeah, once we get through the trials, we'll leave. And then one day he showed up and he shot him. And it's pretty heartbreaking because his wife is in the film. His family's in the film. It's good. I liked it. Foxcatcher's a good movie too, if you haven't seen it.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
So, and then I watched another Netflix doc called My Beautiful Broken Brain, about a woman who has a cerebral hemorrhage and has to learn how to do everything all over again because nothing is working. She has to learn how to speak, do math, everything. I'm thinking that sounds like a really cool idea, But it's just really plain, boring documentary.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah, I don't like this one at all. Cool subject, but did nothing for me.
Yeah.
So I gave up on Netflix.
There you go.
And then I started rewatching films. So I rewatched a really great foreign film from Pablo Larraín, which was on Adrian's Top 20 last year.
Yeah.
Wasn't on mine, but super high rating for me, called The Club.
Oh, yes.
About priests who molested children who get ostracized to a house. And something happens that fucks everything up. And it is just a harsh little film.
It's gut-wrenching.
Oh, it's worth a watch. It's really worth a watch. Larraín is a master. He knows what he's doing. This film pays off. Ending is heartbreaking.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really high recommendation if you like ballsy films. And this is a ballsy film.
It is.
Yeah. He makes really good movies.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen No, it's a really great film.
Yeah.
After The Club, I rewatched The Witch.
Oh, yeah.
It's on iTunes, folks.
It is.
It's on Blu-ray next week.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a horror film. Get that out of your head.
Yeah, it's a mood, atmospheric, tension-filled.
Yeah, it's
family drama.
Yeah, it's almost beyond classification because you've never seen anything like this.
Yeah,
and as Adrian said in our review, it's like they took a time machine and brought people back.
Yeah,
who were in the, because this movie is like freaky real.
Oh yeah,
it's scary. Everything is perfect.
Yeah,
the director Robert Eggers supposedly is a complete master at like building things and detail wise, and this movie is stunning.
That's yeah,
the ending still freaks the shit out of me.
Yeah. Oh man, did they ever stick that landing? Oh, dude,
it's so good.
yeah
So you haven't seen The Witch, no excuse. It's everywhere now, pretty much.
It is. Yeah.
And another movie that's everywhere, it's on iTunes and all your favorite VOD platforms, is Hail Caesar. I feel like I'm like doing like top five prep or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Hail Caesar is, if anything, better the second time.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah,
is.
I'd only seen it the once. It's slowly becoming a top five Coen. Even though we said we weren't going to rank Coen films.
Yeah.
I think it's really great. They are just masters. They really know what they're doing, and if you're willing to go along for the ride, it's a stunning piece of work.
Oh yeah.
The weird little things that happen in that film, I'd forgotten a bunch of it, and I still laughed like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just out of the blue stuff, like weird stuff. Yeah. It shouldn't work.
Yeah.
But Joel and Ethan Coen are masters.
That's right.
Yeah. Super high recommendation for Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it's going to be in my top five. Plus, I'm not going to tell you because we're going to be doing it in like a month or whatever.
Yeah. It's coming up pretty fast.
Yeah. The Witch and Hail Caesar. Can't go wrong with those.
Hell yeah, dude.
And that's it for me.
Well, last episode, you put this one on my radar, Prescription Thugs.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it's director's Chris Bell. He did Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
Which is also recommended if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a really great documentary. Prescription Thugs is basically his analysis and breakdown and takedown of prescription drugs that people abuse in America. It's something that runs rampant and destroys lives, quite literally destroys lives, even his own brother. And you discover some things in the film you maybe wouldn't see coming. It's really good.
He's not technically a great filmmaker.
Right.
But he's a really good storyteller.
He is.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing with that kind of stuff. Like, this film works not because he can't hold a two-shot properly.
Right.
It works because you care about the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Big Pharmacy, man, it's a problem.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
And you mentioned briefly, like, just in our personal conversations, that it's a little bit more regulated in Canada. But in the U.S., it's like free-for-all down there, right? It's people just
drive around and
getting high.
Go to a new clinic.
Yeah.
Go to every clinic in town, get a prescription, and get them filled.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're taking 90 oxycondons a day, and they built up their tolerance so high that they can do that.
Yeah.
And then they die.
Yeah. It's very sad. It's very tragic. So it's basically all about that. And yeah, like you said, Chris Bell, he's maybe not the most polished filmmaker, but man, is he ever a great storyteller. And I think that's probably the best way you can put it. And then I watched another film of his. He has a movie on, it's also on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's called Trophy Kids. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's about crazy parents and the way they raise their children to be professional athletes. And these are children from, one of them is a golfer. Did you see The Short Game few years ago?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, one of the girls from The Short Game is in that. Her name's Amari. Her dad is a total piece of garbage, looms over her, swears and yells and screams.
See, I can't watch that.
No?
No, I just, it makes me sick.
It does.
People who just take that stuff way too seriously.
Yeah.
It's not about you assholes. It's about your kids.
Yeah.
Like when I played hockey when I was a kid, there was always parents.
Oh, there's always that one dad or group of dads.
If you made a bad pass, their dad is yelling at you from the stands, calling you an asshole.
Yeah.
And you're like seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a really great documentary, but I'm tapping out on that one.
Oh, no way. It's such a good movie. Shit. It's so good.
All right. Maybe I'll watch it.
Check it out. Hey, if you made me watch all these fucked up movies, you can get through a documentary with an abusive parent or two.
Oh, don't worry. This year, October.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Oh, bring it.
Oh, I've already been thinking about it.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, my warped, demented mind.
There you go.
Is going to try to up Serbian film.
Oh, dude. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Might have to close down this podcast in September, I think. It's been real, y'all.
Well, we will, because we'll be doing film festivals.
That's right.
Man.
That's right. So, yeah, Trophy Kids. I really enjoyed it. I actually thought it was better than Prescription Thugs.
Cool.
This one, Chris Bell kind of takes a back seat. He does a bit of voiceover, but he's mostly just in the background on this one. Another one I watched on Netflix maybe wasn't the best choice because I was a little tired yesterday, but I was like, I want to watch a movie. So I watched Jafar Panahi's Taxi. Some of it, I think, did go flying over my head a little bit, just because I'm not used to his style. That's his first film I've ever watched. But I really enjoyed, like, it just feels like him throwing up the middle finger to the man and being like, fuck you, I'm going to make a movie. My niece is going to make a movie. Healthcare is fucked here. He's got a lot to say. And it was a lot to take in. It's one that I definitely need to watch again and maybe go through his other films and get used to his style.
Yeah, you also weren't really versed on his situation either, which makes the movies a little better as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Jafar Panahi became a subversive filmmaker when he did something. Like I've seen his films. I don't quite know what he did.
Yeah.
But the government of the country he lives in decided that he wasn't able to make films anymore. Like he was under house arrest for a while.
Right.
And the first film he made, This Is Not a Film, was him and being under house arrest.
Oh, wow.
And he's not allowed to make a film. And he made a film, which was mostly his friends filming. And then he got pissed off at the end and started filming it himself.
That's crazy.
Please don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get killed, dude.
Yeah.
And they smuggled it out of the country in a cake.
Oh, really?
On a USB drive.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody at a film festival.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a pretty oppressive system there. And his second film was an actual real film. And I was like, this is really cool. But once again, I don't want you to die. Like,
yeah,
you're going to piss the wrong dude off. And they're going to kill you. You know, Jafar Panahi's Taxi is literally that. It's him driving a taxi.
Yeah.
And it's probably the best dude driving a taxi film I've ever seen.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, man. Yeah. You meet some interesting characters and you see some emotional things and yeah, it's quite a movie. I definitely look forward to revisiting that.
Yeah, he's a world-class filmmaker who had won multiple awards at film festivals. For him to be silenced and then him just coming back better than ever, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he has restrictions now. And it's like, how can I get around this? And he gets way more creative.
Yeah.
Because he's never made stuff like this before.
Yeah.
And I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, good for you, sir, but be safe.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's all I have for lightning round.
Cool.
Yeah. Like you said before, there's just not a lot of movies out there right now.
Well, luckily it picks up.
Cool.
Yeah, we got a little bit, we got some stuff coming out.
Cool. What do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
So on May 20th, the Angry Birds movie.
Oh.
So shouldn't this have been made a couple years ago?
Like 5 to 8 years ago, yeah, maybe.
Is Angry Birds still popular?
I don't know.
I don't
know. It was like 8 years ago when the first iPhone was created.
Yeah, I played it back in the day, but yeah, the trailer doesn't look terrible. It's got some good voice talent.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
You may be just riding solo on that one.
Okay. I'll see it for the team, for the podcast. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
This looks awesome.
Really?
Yeah. You're not looking forward to it?
I didn't like the first one. So.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I'm that guy.
Oh, what?
I'm that guy.
Oh.
The trailer looks okay. I hope they made it funnier.
Oh, dude. The first one was so funny.
Oh, I didn't think the first one was funny at all.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess we weren't doing podcasts then.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I did. That would have been fun because I was not a fan of that film.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
All right.
You know, it's a big time of the year and all these big movies are coming out, but I really just want to see The Nice Guys.
That looks great.
I've been waiting for this film for a while. That first trailer knocked me on my ass.
Oh,
this
totally.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for this film. Everybody says it's good.
Cool.
I can't wait.
Looks really good.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling is a good comedian.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe is a good comedian.
Yeah.
And Shane Black writes really good comedies.
Oh, yeah. It's got great timing, too.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, that's a good film.
Oh, it's really good, yeah.
Yeah, forget the Shane Black Iron Man film.
That's right.
Remember him for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
You know, good stuff. And a movie we got completely shut out of at a film festival because they just mysteriously dropped it at the Whistler Film Festival last year.
Oh,
Maggie's
yeah.
Plan.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wonder what happened there.
I don't know, but we were super into seeing that film. And then it just got dropped.
Yeah.
I will see anything with Greta Gerwig in it.
Oh, totally.
And hey, Ethan Hawke's also in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks great. It's another New York Greta Gerwig film.
Cool. Sign me up.
Cool with that.
Yeah.
Then on May 27th, we'll just say that Adrian's only going to see X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So I'll say the next one and he'll say no. So X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Have you been a fan of the last two?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I've liked them.
First Class and Days of Future Past.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah.
I loved them. I love those movies.
Yeah.
I love X-Men. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited really for this.
This is The Nice Guys, man. I can't wait for these films. And then Adrian will go home, and I'll go and see Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, yeah. You're going along to that one, man. Screw that. Johnny Depp's on my list.
I was
going
to say, is Johnny Depp on your list?
Yeah, Johnny Depp, Tim Burton. Oh, man, they suck.
Not directed by Tim Burton.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's directed by some other guy, but I had a feeling Johnny Depp was on your list.
Oh, yeah. He's on my list. My veto list. My fuck that. I would rather go home and jerk off list.
Dude, I liked the first one quite a bit.
You did, yeah.
I'm the only person. Oh. And if you want to borrow my Blu-ray for like viewing so you can come and see this one.
Definitely feel not. Free. Definitely not.
Yeah, I'm also the only guy I bought on Blu-ray.
Nice.
And I think I bought it for like $3 on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It'll be a coaster at my place.
Yeah. And that's it, man.
That's it.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah, there's some good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to X-Men. And yeah.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can start to wrap things up here. Where can people find you online?
I am at SoundJam69 on Twitter.
That's right.
And that is it.
Cool. The show has a Twitter account. We're at @thegreen_screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We also have a Facebook page, just run a search for the Green Screen of Death and hit like, and hey, you become the 33rd person to like the Green Screen of Death on Facebook.
Damn right. And we didn't have to give anything away to get followers.
Hey, yeah. Hey, all right.
Bang.
Thumbs up. We will not go chase your follows with free swag from our friends.
Dick move.
Dick move. And you can also find us on various podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Throw us a like, throw us a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience. And hey, we are the most popular Victoria movie podcast, so we're proud of that.
Damn straight, man. 50 episodes,
50
man.
Episodes deep, yo. So yeah, thanks again for checking us out. We look forward to watching more movies and talking more movies. So
that really should have been a milestone. We should have figured something out. I feel bad now. I apologize.
We'll do something cool for 100. We'll do our top. We'll rank all of our episodes.
one big supercut of something.
Yeah, that's right.
All of our really nasty reviews in one show.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you guys enjoying that I'm nasty again?
There you go. Bill is back.
Yeah.
Right on. So thanks again for checking us out. We hope you stick around. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.